Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, you're here with me, Dan Koh, on Your Money, and it's a time of the hour where we talk everything about crypto. Now, more specifically, the need for regulation, as it's been generating quite the buzz recently. And despite the rapid pace which the crypto market is growing, it is still a relatively new asset class prone to volatility. In fact, this year hasn't been very kind to the cryptocurrency space. Let's take it back to the first half of this year, where we saw the price of almost every major cryptocurrency plunge following the collapse of Terra USD and Luna. Now, fast forward to the present day, most of us would be aware of the recent fallout of the crypto exchange FTX, which had seen the company declaring bankruptcy and its ex-CEO Sam Bankman-Fried's $16 billion personal fortune nosedive to zero in less than a week. So with that said, now more than ever, the crypto space is taking giant strides towards addressing concerns in the area. The most major ones are now how unregulated it is and potential security risks with it being an attractive target for hackers. So to talk to us about the importance of a security-first approach in mitigating risks in crypto investing and what growth opportunities we can look forward to here in Asia, we're happy to invite on the show Georgia Queen, the General Counsel at Anchorage Digital. Good morning, Georgia. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Georgia. So can you give us an overview of how the cryptocurrency space has evolved over the years and how are industry players serving and complementing its growth?
Sure. So to start with, the crypto industry kind of evolved sort of backwards from other traditional financial products. Mm. Generally, when the other financial products kind of come to market, they first emanate in the institutional space, where you have, you know, more regulated and sophisticated institutional players developing the asset class, expanding the asset class, kind of building the infrastructure around the asset class. And then it gradually kind of trickles down to the retail level. But with crypto, it kind of happened inversely. And we saw a massive explosion in the retail use and exposure to cryptocurrencies before the institutional players really got into the game. And I think, you know, there's pluses and minuses, obviously, to every, you know, to all of these things. But I do think that if we've seen this asset class get more uptake in the institutional and regulated space, we could have probably saved a lot of this pain that we're experiencing now because, again, we would have built that infrastructure, the proper protocols and controls that would have been necessary to prevent some of these other things from happening.
Right. And now when we talk about crypto, it's hard to ignore the recent collapse of FTX and its sister company, Alameda Research, which has created a cascade of crypto entity collapses and suspension of withdrawals. So talk to us about what the cryptocurrency space looks like now in the wake of the FTX implosion.
Yeah. So I want to be very clear that this is a case of fraud. Mm. This is not actually an issue with crypto, cryptocurrencies, the technology. Nothing broke here. There wasn't even anything within this fraud that was exacerbated by the use of this technology.
Right.
This is just a very old-fashioned case of fraud. And really, there are kind of no controls that you can put in place to prevent that. If somebody is willing to go to any lengths to lie to people and steal their money, that's going to happen. And what we have to try to do is pick up the pieces in the aftermath. Now, as I mentioned before, you know, when things kind of begin at a regulated institutional level, you have a regulatory framework where someone is watching you, right? Mm. And you have accountability and you have to provide financial statements and you are examined by regulators. And so they can detect that fraud much, much quicker than, you know, the situation that we were in now. And so if we had had a more regulated environment around these exchanges and some of these other, you know, financial products, like I was saying before, we really could have prevented some of this pain that we're all feeling now. Because frankly, these are lessons that have been learned over and over and over again.
Right.
And I find it frustrating that we have to continually relive this, this issue.
Right. Then what does this suggest about the future of the crypto ecosystem and how do you expect it to change following the collapse of the FTX?
Yeah, so we're definitely going to see more regulation. And what I really hope is that rather than something like purely reactionary, like we saw with Dodd-Frank after the 2008 financial crisis. I really hope we can get something that is very reasoned and measured and thoughtful to address the crypto-specific issues. Because again, I want to separate and parse out these things. There are fraud issues, and then there are crypto issues. And we need to be very careful about what we're addressing at what time. But, you know, in the U.S., there is no doubt that we are going to have some massive regulation with respect to this industry.
Thank you so much for that. And before we get into the regulatory framework, let's talk about, you know, the level of interest among institutional investors. Have you noticed institutional investors staying off from crypto, and is this putting them off?
Yes. So in the short term, I would say yes. I mean, we've definitely in the past, you know, couple of weeks, we've seen some projects that we were implementing kind of put pause on.
Right.
But I think as a whole, the institutions are definitely moving into this space. And as I kind of alluded to at the beginning, like it's maybe a little later than, you know, would have been helpful and certainly what I would have hoped for, but they are moving into this space, and that is going to bring, you know, that institutional knowledge that I think has been lacking to date.
Right. Then do you think it's ever possible for crypto to go back to its decentralized roots after this episode?
Yeah, so I mean, decentralized roots, the operation of the protocols it's still decentralized.
Mm.
But just because the protocol is operating in a decentralized way doesn't mean that other functions like custody or exchanges have to necessarily be truly decentralized. In fact, it's very nice to have a centralized custodian, especially for an institution when you have multiple participants and you need to ensure a level of kind of longevity within that institution. And
right.
So certain parts of the crypto ecosystem actually lend themselves well to centralization versus other things like the actual operation of the protocol. And just because we have certain centralized portions of the ecosystem doesn't mean we have to lose any of the wonderful functionality that the blockchain brings to bear, such as transparency and finality of settlement.
Right, and that's very important that we raise that up. Let's talk about perhaps the trends in terms of the interest in crypto exposure around the world. Are you seeing any trends in interest in this market?
Yeah, I mean, what's kind of interesting is in the U.S. right now, like the FTX and Celsius and Terra and all of these things are like a really big deal. But, you know, I have been traveling in Asia, and I feel like people are just taking it in stride a little more. And
right.
I think that there's still an enthusiasm for the asset class, which I do think will ultimately bounce back. I think we're set back a little bit right now, but I do think it will ultimately bounce back, especially if we get this mature and appropriate regulation in place.
Right.
Actually, probably a testament to some of the Asian regulations. So, for instance, in Singapore, they have been working for quite some time on a robust framework for
right.
the crypto ecosystem. And it's something that we really appreciated. We're actually expanding to Singapore and pursuing licensure there. And it's been quite refreshing, frankly, because, you know, in the United States, we really have a patchwork of financial regulators. So based on the product or service that you're offering, you have to go to a different regulatory body
right.
versus here in Singapore, you know, you have the MAS, and they are a holistic regulator that it doesn't matter what product or service we're offering, they are the regulator, you know, that whole regulator. And so we don't have these like turf wars or instances where there's uncertainty as to who should be, you know, watching us. It's all very clear. And frankly, for a company like us that wants that regulatory certainty, it's very comforting.
Right. Fascinating. And that's definitely a development that we're going to be watching out for the crypto market here in Singapore. Now, if you're just joining us, we're speaking to Georgia Queen, the general counsel at Anchorage Digital, to talk about crypto and the importance of a security-first approach in mitigating risks when investing in this space. Now, the collapse of FTX is likely to increase investor and regulatory pressure on crypto entities to disclose more information about their balance sheets, to safeguard clients' assets, to limit asset concentration, and probably induce more diligent risk management. So talk to us about the importance of a security-first approach in mitigating risks in crypto investing.
Sure. I think And again, like, these are age-old principles of finance. Nothing I'm going to say is revolutionary or new.
Yep.
It just hasn't been being applied to the crypto industry. And first and foremost, no commingling. There should never, ever be commingling of firm assets and client assets. That is just a core principle of finance. And so I think, you know, that will be one of the pillars of whatever new regulation is imposed. The second is the separation of entities that have conflicts of interest. Mm. So the exchange and the custodian, you know, should be separate entities because they have different duties to the clients. The exchange has a duty to get the best execution for those trades, the quickest, most timely execution so the client gets the best price.
Right.
That is a very different job than the safekeeping of assets. And so those two functions need to be separated. And
right.
What we've been working on at Anchorage, because we are a crypto native solution, we want to be able to offer all of the benefits of the blockchain, but still provide the security of traditional finance. And so in addition to our, you know, federal banking charter that we have in the United States, we are implementing this technology that allows an exchange to use Anchorage as the custodian and sit on top. And through the transparency of the blockchain, they're able to actually look into client accounts so they can be satisfied that the client has the appropriate assets in order to execute the trades that they'll be placing on the exchange, but they never take control of the funds.
Right.
The funds are always custodied safely at Anchorage. And then only once the trade is executed will those funds be released in settlement of that trade.
Right.
And so, again, it's using the transparency of the blockchain, but the traditional financial security of the separation of those two entities.
All right. And yes, transparency, I agree. That's something that we definitely have to keep a close focus on. Now, what kind of implication might the emergence of new legislation and regulation have on investors and industry players?
First of all, I think it's going to provide a lot of certainty, which is what we've been asking for as an industry for a long time. So it's not a bad thing as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But what it is going to do is it's going to lay the rules of the road. It's going to give us clarity and it's going to allow a mature industry to develop. And the players, frankly, that aren't willing to abide by a regulatory regime are going to fall to the wayside because there will be a flight to quality. And, you know, ultimately, while again, I wish that we could have prevented some of this pain, ultimately, this is going to be a good thing for the industry because it will lead to a more mature and safer, frankly, industry.
Yep. And yeah, we will soon see more of the practices of the traditional finance moving into crypto space. And this might give confidence to investors as well. Now, Georgia, share with us what it means for Anchorage to be the world's first federally chartered crypto bank. And how are you guys leading the field in terms of improving the crypto market infrastructure?
Yes. So as I mentioned before, we are the first federally chartered bank. We undertook this knowingly. We knew that it was, you know, frankly, the most intense regulatory regime in the world.
Yep.
And we knew that our clients would appreciate that because our clients are institutions, heavily regulated institutions themselves. And so to know that we are held to the same standards that they are gives them great comfort. And so that was the first, you know, premise for that licensure. And as we move forward and we see greater adoption by these other institutions, we hope that more and more institutions take on, you know, the various appropriate licensure. We think this is the only way that we will get mass adoption of this asset class because until, you know, it can become a household name that people can feel comfortable with, this is people's finances. This is the most precious thing to them. It's like maybe their kids.
Mm.
So we have to be able to, you know, show the integrity, frankly, traditional finance sometimes has and sometimes has failed to do.
Right. Then, you know, speaking of which, what kind of growth opportunities do you guys see in Asia, the region, and when it comes to crypto?
Yes. So I think that Asia, like there's been a recent study by Accenture showing that, you know, a majority of investing households in Asia have exposure to crypto.
Right.
And that's amazing. Like that blows me away because that is definitely not the case in the U.S. And so just knowing that there's already an appetite and a willingness to participate with this technology is very exciting to us. And so we are definitely looking to expand. We're currently hiring. We've recently opened an office in Singapore, and we're, you know, again, this is a setback. I'm not, you know, there's no, I can't hide this, but, right. But we still are very optimistic about the region.
All right. Then what are your thoughts on Singapore as a regional crypto market hub then, given China's ban on crypto last year?
That's true. But we think that Singapore has provided some excellent guidance and a regulatory framework that we can work with. And so, you know, aside from China's stance, I think that's just probably moved a lot of the market to Singapore.
Yes, that's something that we can definitely look forward to as well. Now, Georgia, thank you so much for providing us with a great analysis of what's happening in the crypto so far. But just before I let you go, what's next for Anchorage Digital and the crypto market?
Oh, boy, I forgot my crystal ball. But I would say, again, we're very excited about Asia. And right. Singapore is our flagship there. So the continued growth, the adoption by, again, institutions, we're trying to kind of reverse the way the crypto started, right? I kind of began our conversation talking about how it initially got mass retail adoption. We want to kind of turn that on its head now and really move into the institutions that can provide the infrastructure and framework for then ultimate mass adoption, but baby steps, okay? And
right.
we must start with the institutions.
Right. Institutions and baby steps and transparency, of course. That's the key word I'm taking away with me today. Thank you so much, Georgia, for joining us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And we've been speaking to Georgia Queen, the General Counsel at Anchorage Digital, about crypto and the importance of a security-first approach and mitigating risks when it comes to investing in this space.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.